الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا، ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان، ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا، وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم. صدق الله العلي العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, as you know that we have two students who will inshallah be graduating or completing the khatam of the Quran, the hifz of the Quran, and the procedure would be that we'll have a bayan, and after the bayan, both these students, Hafiz Yusuf Dindar and Hafiz Yusuf Shah, will complete the recitation of the Quran, after which we will have the khutbah, and then the namaz, and after the namaz, we will have the dua. So that will be the format. The lecture, therefore, would be shorter than normal to allow for the completion of the Quran. We celebrate the Quran on this occasion. And the Quran serves as an inspiration to millions of people who regard it as a boundless reservoir of guidance and hope. The Quran shapes our thinking and our values. The Quran provides comfort to the anxious, hope to the despondent, courage to the faint-hearted, faith to the despairing. It provides direction to the confused. The Quran serves as a healing for our broken spirits. The Quran serves as a mercy for the believers and as a forgiveness to the wayward. That is the Quran. That is what we are celebrating here today. How has Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam described the Quran? Who else, who better to describe the Quran than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself? And in the hadith narrated by Tirmidhi, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, "Huwa hablullah al-mateen," that it is the unbreakable rope of rescue, of salvation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether you are lost, whether you are despondent, whether you are confused, whether you are anxious, there is cling and to the rope of Allah, and that is the Quran. So first Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in describing the Quran, says it is the rope of salvation for those who are willing to cling to it. It is a dhikr, a remembrance full of wisdom and the straight path. Those who affectionately cling to it, it will never mislead. Nor will tongues become weary by its constant repetition. Imagine these students who have constantly repeated and memorized 6,660 words. Imagine these students who have memorized over 70,000 words of the Quran. But the tongues never become weary by its constant repetition. Nor will the scholars ever feel satiated by it. The quest for unraveling the mysteries of the Quran grow deeper and deeper the more time you spend and the deeper you wade into the ocean of the Quran. Nor will it lose its sanctity on account of repeated recitation. Any other scripture, any other book, any other text, if you read it and repeat it and repeat it, it loses its significance. But the Quran's significance grows with constant repetition. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, its wonders never cease. It is a book that when the jinn heard it, they were constrained to declare, Inna sami'na Qur'anan ajaba, that we have heard a Quran that is ajib, that is miraculous, that is wonderful, that is amazing. Whoever speaks, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever speaks by it is truthful. Whoever acts by it will be rewarded, and whoever judges by it is just, and whoever calls to it will be guided to the straight path. That is how Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes the Quran, the word of Allah. We should be asking ourselves, we've just come out from the month of the Quran. What is the function of the Quran? How does the Quran relate to our day-to-day lives? What place does it occupy in our lives? There are six functions of the Quran. Firstly, it is the recitation, tilawa. That is the obligation of the Quran, that we recite it regularly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Al-Mahir bil Quran, the one who recites the Quran in a perfect, beautiful manner, ma'al kiramil barara, will be in the company of the noble angels on the day of Qiyamah. This is glad tidings to the Huffaz, glad tidings to the two students who are about to complete, that if they are able to embrace the Quran and read it as the Quran deserves, with due that it deserves, they will be on the day of judgment in the company of the noble angels. But this is for everyone else who diligently tries to fulfill, read the Quran with the due that it deserves. So the Quran is a means of us gaining proximity and being in the company of the noble angels on the day of Qiyamah, whether we are Huffaz or not. If we read the Quran perfectly, if we read the Quran with the due that it deserves, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, you will be in the company of the angels. The second function of the Quran is to understand the message of the Quran. This is not a book of amulets. This is not a book of some mysteries. It is a message of Allah for the daily guidance of humanity. And therefore Allah says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not spend time reflecting on the message of the Quran? Or are there locks that have sealed their hearts and prevent the message of the Quran entering their hearts? Are we doing justice to the Quran? Are we spending time trying to understand the message of the Quran? Does the Quran serve as our guiding light? Thirdly, the third right of the Quran is to submit to the dictates of the Quran. To submit to the law of the Quran in every sphere and aspect of our lives. Allah says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةِ. That it is does not behove a believing male or a female to exercise any freedom of choice when Allah and His Messenger has decreed a matter. So the dictate and the demand of the Quran is that in every aspect, whether it is our business dealings, our social conduct, our ibadat, we submit to the law of Allah. That is the demand of the Quran. Another demand of the Quran is that you interact with the Quran. How do we interact and engage with the Quran? A Sahabi says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whenever, whilst reciting the Quran, whenever he came to verses that demonstrated the glory of the Quran, the glory of Allah, he would pause and glorify Allah. Whenever he came across verses that spoke about beseeching and turning to Allah, then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam would pause and make dua and beseech Allah. Whenever he came to verses that spoke about the punishment of Allah, he would pause and seek protection in Allah from the wrath of Allah. So this is how we have to engage with the Quran. It has to become part, we have to be part of the recitation of the Quran. And another function of the Quran is to find solace in the words of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum." Those who believe and find itminan, tranquility in the Quran. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. That indeed the hearts will find satisfaction through the Quran. So the Quran is a treasure to find solace, tranquility, inner peace and contentment. And the sixth requirement of the Quran is to learn and teach the Quran. Learn and propagate the Quran. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, the best of you are those who learn the Quran and teach the Quran. In the verse that I've recited before you, Allah refers to the Quran as the ruh. وَكَذَلِكَ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ رُوحًا مِّنْ أَمْرِنَا. And thus we have, by our command, revealed the ruh to you. Why is the Quran called the ruh? You know, the ruh is the spirit that enters the human body. The Quran is ruh because it gives you life from the death of ignorance. Quran is called the ruh because the source of the Quran, people were objecting to Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How can you claim to have received revelation from the unseen? And Allah says, yes, you can deny the source of this revelation if you can deny the ruh that enters and leaves your body. If you can accept that this ruh, which we do not understand, is blown into this body and gives life to this physical body of us, of ours, and the same ruh, when it leaves, it renders this body a corpse. If you can deny the source of that ruh, that changes, that has such a profound impact on the human body, then you can deny the source and the origin of this Quran. So the Quran is called ruh because just like this ruh that enters this human body gives us life for a specific duration in this world, when the ruh of the Quran enters the heart, it will give us a permanent life of bliss in the year after. The Quran is called the ruh because of its life-giving ability. Take this human body. When this ruh leaves this body, All the human intelligence and resources can come round that person. Like the Quran says, Kalla idha balagati taraqiya. When this ruh reaches the collarbone, وَقِيلَ مَنْ رَاق, and all those people around say, who is it that can induce and cure this person who is about to leave this world? Who is it that can infuse life into this body? وَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ الْفِرَاقُ وَالْتَفَّتِ السَّاقُ بِالسَّاقُ, and the shanks then flap against each other. The entire human race can get together to try and prevent this ruh from leaving the body. They will fail. And in the same manner, the Quran is called ruh because if all human intelligence and human resources get together to prepare and to try and emulate one verse of the Quran, they would not be able to do so. That is the ruh. That is why the Quran is called the ruh. In ending, a poet complains about how we have relegated the Quran. And he says, the Quran was a command for action. You turned it into a book of amulets, ta'weez. You read it for good luck and bad luck and for barakah. It was a book to understand, yet you read it without making any attempt to understand the message of Allah. It was a code for the living. You turned it into a manifesto for the dead. That is when you take out the Quran and read when the janazah is around. It was a book of knowledge, a book that ought to enlighten us, yet you abdicated it to the ignorant. It came to give knowledge of harnessing universal forces. You abandoned it to the madrasa. That is the function of the Quran. It came to give life to dead nations. You used it for seeking mercy for the dead. O Muslims, what have you done? O Muslims, what have you done? Why the power and the life of this Quran lays in the shelves. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to truly appreciate the message of the Quran, and may this Quran create life in our lives, both as at an individual and collective level. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.